First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers for their kind invitation and their arrangement. So today I'd like to first go over quickly the nonlinear energy method which I came across recently, and then try to focus more on reporting some new results. Okay, I think that's more interesting. To save time, I'd like to, because there's explosive literature on this subject, it's impossible for me to list them all. So just apologize for that at the beginning. Okay. So the situation is very classical. Let's consider a Boltzmann equation, let's say for hot sphere interaction. Okay. Now in a periodic box, so x is bounded. Okay. So the nonlinear energy method is to construct mathematically global in time solutions near a given Maxwellian. Okay. So that's the game. Okay. So now a standard way to do that is you linearize the equation around a given Maxwellian. So here I denote mu to be a given Maxwellian, and then the f can be written as this form, where little f now is the perturbation. Okay, it's a small quantity. So now if you plug this form into the Boltzmann equation, then you have a equation, nonlinear equation, for the perturbation f. And here L is the well-known collision operator, and L is always a negative. And one natural way to try to construct global solution for f is small is you just try to use energy method. In other words, you multiply by f and then integrate over space and velocity space. Okay. So if you do that, and this term will vanish, so then you'll end up with a good term, derivative of the L2 norm of square of f, and then important term is LFF, and the term on the right hand side is cubic. So cubic is not so important in our study because it represents the higher order term. Okay, so the crucial term to analyze is this collision operator, right? Collision operator, we know, is always non-negative. Unfortunately, it's not always positive definite. Okay, this is due to the conservations of mass, momentum, and energy. Okay, so that actually is the estimate you can get. Okay, so here P is the projection to the null space of L, which is well known. So you have for fixed T and X, you have five-dimensional null space. Okay, so this is your only control part of f. Okay, and here p of f you can write in this form. Okay, so a, b, and c in general could be function of t and x. Okay, this way. Gradient of Maxwellian. Yeah. Yes. Oh, because this doesn't depend on x. So when you take the gradient, this is zero. Okay. This is a global Maxwellian. Okay. This is a global Maxwellian. Okay. Simplest case. Okay. Yeah. So this is this part, the p part, is so-called microscopic part or fluid part. Okay. So that's the part you're missing. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, E squared, yeah, thank you, yeah. So that's the, yeah. Well, in the case where there's no spatial dependence, in other words, independent of X, then this is not such a bad thing because of the mass, momentum, and energy conservation, basically says F you can always make sure is always microscopic, in other words, perpendicular to those to this null space. So then you have a full control of, you really have the positivity of L. Okay, so once you have a positivity of L here, then since we're considering when F is small, then this is always in general can be controlled. Okay, so we end up with a very nice energy estimate. Then you get a global solution. Okay, if you absorb this over here, then you get more or less a Grunwald type of estimate. Yeah. The triple norm. Okay, the triple norm is something coming from the L. Okay, related to the L. Okay. That depends on particular models you're considering. You're considering what kind of the lower bound you can get. Okay, I want to be vague at this point. And when we go to the examples, okay, I will specify. This is just usually you can get the estimate like this with some kind of a norm. Okay, so at this point, just I want to keep it vague. Yeah. Okay. So the interesting thing is what happens when you have a spatial dependence. So the point is, when you have spatial dependence, the conservations of mass and momentum and energy cannot really make your linearized operator L positive definite. This is very clear. Okay, you can find a lot of them. So it's always at operator level, L is always can have a huge null space. Okay. So that seems to have a little use analytically in order to construct solutions. Okay. But the key point of the nonlinear energy estimate is to realize that in order to do energy estimate, you are not only dealing with general functions. Okay, when you multiply by little f itself is a solution. Okay, when you try to do that, it's a solution. So the key point is try to show, although at operative level, L is not positive definite, but you want to show that L indeed is cohesive, positive definite, okay, for small solutions, little small perturbations F, to the full nonlinear Boltzmann equation. Okay, so once you have this positive definiteness, then you're done with the global construction. Okay, so that's the key point. Okay, so the key point is to try to show that L is positive definite. Okay, and we have already know that L is positive definite with respect to the microscopic part, which is this part. Okay, so in order to show L is positive definite with respect to the full F, the only thing you need to show is the missing part, the fluid part, PF, can be bounded above by this microscopic part, I minus P, in some sense. Okay, for solutions. Okay. And you can just do that. So you just split this up into two parts. This is a microscopic part, and this is a microscopic part into the full Boltzmann equation. Now you want to show this somehow is bounded by that. Okay. And you just do that. You realize that PF has very simple form, which is characterized by this A, B, and C. Okay. So you write this is the microscopic part, and those are something related to the microscopic part. Okay. Now you just try to analyze this equation. Okay, analyze this equation. So it's very easy to expand them because for fixed T and X, they are just some polynomials. So this is the P of F. Now if you plug them in into the left-hand side, this is the expression you will get in terms of A, B, and C. You see they're all polynomials, powers of polynomials multiplied by the Gaussian. Okay, so now you just compare the coefficients on both sides of those special functions. Then you get a sequence of equations. Right hand side are those ABCs. Okay, and left hand side are those ABCs, and then the right hand side are some linear terms and nonlinear terms depending on basically I minus P. Okay, the nonlinear thing depends on everything, but to a higher order, right, to a higher order. So, yeah. Li, those are just some linear linear terms for the I minus P part. So basically you have the I minus P, which, and then you multiply against for some smooth function in V and decays very fast. This is a very nice expression, basically, okay? And those H represent some nonlinear terms, nonlinear terms. So the key point, key part is this one, and then the left-hand side certainly is very important. So the problem is whether or not you can deduce some estimate, okay, from this set of equations for A, B, and C in terms of I minus P, F. Once you can do that, then you can say P, F is bounded by I minus P. Then you're done. Then L is positive definite. Okay, so that's the program. Turns out this this system, I call it the macroscopic system, is pretty easy to analyze. Okay. So the first thing you can do is you can analyze the Laplacian of B. Okay, somehow it gets a very nice form. Okay, so Laplacian of B is get you control of B already. Okay. So now, if you are willing, see there is some t derivative there. Okay, t derivative there. If you were willing to introduce a norm which has t derivative there, then those terms are nice. Okay, those terms are nice. Okay, then turns out, then you can not only estimate b, then you can estimate, everything. You can estimate everything. And if you include t derivative as part of your norm, those estimates are very easy and also very much elliptic type, okay, estimate. So very easy, straightforward. So that's basically the roughly the idea, okay, idea of the nonlinear energy method. Okay, there's one last step, okay, so by analyzing this macroscopic system, okay, what you can get directly is the derivative for the gradients of A, B, and C, okay, derivatives, okay. Then in order to recover A, B, and C themselves, you have to use the conservation law, which in this case states the average of them are all zero, okay. So then you use Poincaré, then basically you get your desired result. So this last step is very important, okay, very important, okay. Okay, so that's basically the essence of the nonlinear energy method. So basically you try to show L is positive definite for the full system for small solutions. Okay. So now I'd like to move on to the applications. Okay, move on to the applications. So the first application is the so-called Vlasov-Maxwell-Boltzmann system. Okay, so here we have both ions and, say, ions or electrons, charged particles. Okay, they interact consistently, self-consistently with the electromagnetic field. Okay, so this is a Maxwell system, and this is a Vlasov-Boltzmann system. Okay, and we have, say, simple steady state, let's say mu, when both are equal to mu. Okay. So the game is you try to construct global solutions near mu. Yeah. Oh, actually, I apologize. I already normalized every constant to be one. Okay, certainly it could have different masses, should have different masses, and also a lot of different physical constants I ignored, actually. Okay. Yeah. And the point of this project is that you try to deal with a non-trivial magnetic field, which is had been an open problem for this system. Okay. Okay, so you do the same thing. Okay, you do the same thing here. Okay, and so here now you have a pair of unknown functions there, F plus or minus. And you have the conservation law. Okay, conservation law now is more complicated because now you have, this is a mass conservation. For the momentum conservation, the this term comes in from the field. Okay, for the energy conservation, this term comes in again from the field. Okay. And one thing you can notice that is B always has a mean value constant. This is always constant. Okay. So what are the basic estimates? Okay. So we can just try to repeat the same argument. Try to show L is positive definite. Okay. So the macroscopic equation now a little bit different. There's only one equation has the E in there. This is actually the second to the last equation for the microscopic equation. There's an E appearing here. That's the new term. Okay. So the difficulty of this problem is, even if we can show that all the derivatives of A, B, and C can be bounded by I minus P, right? If the last step, when we go to, when we try to recover the A, B, C themselves, you need to use the average. You need to use the average, right? When you try to do that, turns out those average relate to E, B in this way. So those average are given by A, B, and C, okay? E, B, and so that's one of the difficulty because you do not know how to relate, in general, how to relate the field with the with F. Certainly you can try to solve the E and B in terms of the distribution F through the Maxwell system, but that will give you some retarded integration in T, which will spoil your strategy. You really want instantaneous estimate. Okay. So the first thing to do is you try to show that indeed you can estimate fields in terms of the distribution in an instantaneous way. That means for every fixed T, okay, you can estimate that provided you will just relax a little bit your requirement. So if I try to construct solutions for a solution that has, let's say, n derivatives, right, then I can show that the m, all the derivatives up to n-1 of the field is bounded by the distribution function. In other words, the highest order derivative is lost. Why this is true? So this estimate is not through the Maxwell system, but through this microscopic equation. You see, I can just solve for E instantaneously through this equation in terms of A and B. But certainly, I have some derivative loss over there. Okay, so that's basically the key idea. Okay, you do not use Maxwell, but use Vlasov in some sense. Okay, solve for E. So once you have E, then you use Maxwell. You can solve for B and for B and everything. Okay, so that's the one first estimate. Okay, so except for the highest order derivative, the fields can be bounded instantaneously by the distribution. Okay, and then once you have done that, then you have to try to estimate the positivity. In other words, you try to estimate that the microscopic A, B, and C is bounded by that. This part, you can do that, but it's very, very tricky because of the presence of E, you have to use the Maxwell system in a quite tricky way. Okay, but anyway, you can do that. Okay, so in the end, you end up with a estimate like this form. Okay, so here, the upper alpha denotes the space-time derivatives, temporal and spatial derivatives. And beta denotes the velocity derivatives. Okay, so I should sum over alpha to some, say, big N. Okay, big N. I just read. Okay, see here, this is the instant energy. Okay, and that's the part coming from the dissipation. Okay, so here you have something there. Okay, from this you get a global solution. Global solution. So the global solution, coming several works. Okay, so it started from 0.2. And the current form of this, the first one is still with the case without magnetic field, and also the nonlinear energy estimate is only in the average sense. Okay, you have to further integrate over T. The current form of the energy method, which is taking the T derivatives as part of a norm, is appearing in this paper, which is you first considered a non-trivial magnetic field. In particular, okay, I want to say that when my student Strain recently we solved the problem, which is a more physically meaningful, that we can solve the problem for relativistic Landau Maxwell system. In other words, you have a relativistic version of the Boltzmann. A Landau collision with the Coulomb interaction, okay, and coupled with the Maxwell system, so that you can consider that system is maybe the most complete, okay, most complete description for a dilute plasma, okay. So I'm very happy about this result because we get three very positive reports for that paper, which is for me it's first time, okay. Okay, so now I want to discuss so-called almost exponential decay for the system. Okay, so I want to study the time decay of this problem. Okay, and the time decay, if you look at this estimate, you see the difficulty is obvious. If this dissipation, including the field, completely, suppose, then you get a Grunwald type of inequality. Then you get exponential decay. Exponential decay. Okay. Unfortunately, as you said, you only get the estimate for the fields up to the n minus one order. So you lose one derivative. So this is certainly not right. Unless you are in a simplified version of this system. In other words, if there is no magnetic field, then this is so-called Poisson equation. Then you gain regularity. So in that case, this actually controls everything of the electric field. Okay, so then you get exponential decay. Okay, but not for the case with a magnetic field. So here, originally, Strain and I were able to answer this question. We borrow a main idea or main philosophy from the program of Devlet and Villani. Okay, Devlet and Villani. Okay. So the key idea is certainly for fixed n. Okay, for fixed n, somehow this is stronger than that. Okay, this is stronger than that. Okay, in particular this part. In order to control this, you need n plus one derivatives, right? You need n plus one derivatives. This is not good enough. But notice our estimates. Control is our estimate is a family of estimate for arbitrary n. Well, if your initial you're good enough, your solution is good enough. Okay, so in other words, although this cannot be bounded by that, but for a much bigger n, suppose initially they're very bigger n, this solution is still good. So then this part is always uniformly bounded. Okay, uniformly bounded. So this cannot be controlled by this small n, but by using an interpolation. Okay, by using an interpolation. Okay, this is bounded by a product of this and multiplied by something which is a very, very, very big sublet norm. Okay, with different powers. Right, this is trivial. Everybody knows that. Okay, but the end result is, well, this field part is bounded by very huge sublet norm. Multiplied by the one less, which we know how to, which is bounded by the dissipation, right? But you have to pay, certainly. You have to pay a power. You have to power. But if this is huge enough, this power is very close to one. That's the point. Okay. So if you write down the estimate, you get an estimate like this. Okay. This is almost one. Depends on your initial condition. Okay. That's the philosophy of Devlet and Villani. So they try to get decay under the best possible circumstances. Okay, in other words, the initial condition can be as good as you wish. Okay, so that's basically resolve this problem. Okay, there's no new estimate, just a simple interpolation, and basically you change the rule of the game. Okay, you choose and change the rule of the game. You look at the family of different norms, okay, different norms. Okay, so the next topic I want to touch upon is the cutoff soft potentials. Okay, so this is again well-known problem in the Boltzmann theory, where this gamma is between -3 and 0. It's well-known. It's usually when have a soft potential is harder. Okay, so the basic estimate again is with some norm. You have a lower bound. Now the norm is related in this way. Okay, answer this question. Okay, it's in a very precise way. Okay, you have some weight basically this way. Okay, and let me introduce the L2 weight. Okay, so basically what happens here, you have weight. Okay, some weight of v. When v goes to infinity, it goes to zero. So that makes the dissipation part is weaker than the energy, okay, energy part. Well, then you can do use the same idea, okay, same idea. Then you just let me just list a basic estimate. Okay, so I'm afraid I'm way up time. Okay, if you introduce any weight factor in V, okay, actually you can construct you can prove this kind of estimate. Okay, this is how to control the nonlinear term in terms of your dissipation as well as your energy, okay, and this is the linear term. Linear term, when you take a V derivative, how this behaves, okay. So in any case, you can get this estimate, which is a pretty substantial, I would say, okay. But in the end, you can get an estimate like this form. Again, this is like a basic sublift up to M, but with some weight, with basically arbitrary weight L. Okay, so V to some power L, okay. And here, this is the dissipation part, okay. Dissipation part is worse than that. So in other words, you have an additional bad power of V to some negative power here, okay. So that's basically the estimate. From this end, you get again, global solution, okay, global solution. I get the global solution for only for L equal to zero, but for any L with additional weight, it's the same thing, okay. So once again, let's consider the problem of the decay. And also, from this inequality again, the problem of decay is difficult if you're just fixed N, because this is always worse than that. So you cannot use the Grunwald, that's the problem, okay. So now you just, once again, you borrow the idea from Devlin and Melanie. By the way, the first decay estimate for this problem was done by them, Devlin and Melanie, where they prove the, in a very general setting, and they get a program which aiming on the best possible circumstance, the best possible scenario, how to get a decay estimate even away from the equilibrium, the Gaussian. But in particular, in this case, they get the first result with respect to decay of this problem, okay, which is quite a remarkable result, okay. And but their result really, because they're has a huge problem, okay, their result, if you try to show this fact, okay, they have to do a sequence of papers, very solid and deep papers, okay. The question is whether or not you can get their result, in particular in this case, in an easier manner. Turns out just basically one line or two lines, okay. Again, use the same idea, okay, you use the interpolation. Once again, for this kind of a result estimate, this is a family of result for all n, okay. And also, as I said, true for all L, the weight factor L. Okay, so this certainly is stronger than that, or this is weaker than that. Okay, but if I choose different L, in a higher L, then you can interpolate. Very easy interpolation. So in other words, this part dissipation is bound your this with a power L here in this very simple way. Okay. Just from real analysis, okay. And this part is a dissipation. So if I'm assuming the L is huge, for a huge L, I also have the energy estimate, then again, I get the same structure. So here, I have to pay the power a little bit, but this is always bounded. If you're assuming initially you're super nice, okay. Okay, so basically you're done, okay. So that's, you get exactly the almost algebraic decay. So the next thing I want to tap into is this Navier-Stokes limit, so which I want to thank Nader Masmoudi and Dave Livermore got me into this problem. Okay, there is huge literature about this very important problem, and certainly the first result. Oh, if you just try to establish the limits for initial value problems, okay, I think the first result is due to Bartles and Wukai when you're really near the equilibrium, right? So, and certainly there's a remarkable project by Livermore, Gauss, and Bartles, later on by Masmoudi and Salomon, that they can show the convergence to the Lorentz solution. Lorentz solution, in particular, the recent work by Gauss and Salomon, okay. But to my understanding, everything is done in the for the hard potential. Well, Yeah, sometimes, okay. So, but anyway, so the question actually that Dave posed to me was whether or not you can use this nonlinear energy method to say something maybe more than Wuka and Bartos. Indeed, you can. So if you use this scaling, okay, and then if you are in the case for the inverse power law, you can get a uniform epsilon estimate, okay. So the key thing in this game is to get a uniform estimate in epsilon, okay. Then you can get that, okay. So this is the instant energy you get, okay. So the key thing here is that you have a more spatial derivative, always arbitrary spatial or time derivative. And here you have epsilon squared. This is if you have the velocity derivative. So this is my instant energy. And my dissipation is like this. We have 1 over epsilon, which is this part. Okay, this part is, again, this is related to the dissipation. You have 1 over epsilon to the microscopic part, which you know in the end should go to 0. Okay, and here you have another part related to the, So you get an estimate like this. E prime plus delta D, less or equal than 0. So you get a uniform estimate. Okay, uniform estimate in high sublim norm. So certainly you get any kind of compactness. And by general machinery, by Livermore, Gauss, and Bartos, then you get the convergence. Notice that there's, because my alpha can include the temporal derivatives. So in other words, initially I have to require some temporal derivatives are always bounded. That implies I cannot have initial layer. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I don't. Maybe I'm running out of time. Let me just say. Okay, let me just say quickly the Landau's equation. Okay, so for the Landau equation, the same story. Okay, Landau's equation, same story. So in other words, you can construct solution for the Landau equation for the Coulomb interaction. And also, moreover, more interesting thing is you can get almost exponential decay. Once again, very simple, two line, because again, you realize that my construction with the my original construction for the Landau equation can have an actual weight, arbitrary weight there in V. And then again, by the work recently, Strand and I can show again you interpolate. So once again, never stop. Limit is the same thing. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you very much.